It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Mic Check. What is wrong with the Jamaica healthcare system? Why is it so dysfunctional? No one I've ever seems to be held responsible or accountable for the mistakes and the failure of the system. Joining us this morning to talk candidly about the Jamaica healthcare system is Dr. Michael Morgan, a man who has worked in Jamaica as a doctor, a man who has lent his support, Anthony Turner and listeners, to many medical missions to Jamaica. So Dr. Michael Morgan will join us. Anthony, go ahead and introduce our guests.
Yes, as you said, Rastam was special guest on Mic Check this morning. His name is Dr. Michael P. Morgan, and he's an infectious disease doctor with special training and skills in detecting and treating bacterial, viral, fungal, and tropical infections, and having years of diverse experiences, especially in infectious diseases and internal medicine. Dr. Morgan is currently affiliated with the St. Joseph's Hospital in Yonkers, New York, as a nocturnist, where he supervised medical residents in the ICU, admitting, investigation, and managing patients until transition to hospitals and attending RRTs and cold intubation, central line placement, A-line placement, and a lumbar procedure. And from 2001 to 2003, Dr. Morgan was a co-organizer of the Bustamante Children's Hospital and the Columbia University Medical Center Pediatric Oncology Partnership by fostering a partnership to improve the quality of care and outcome in the pediatric oncology population, and a collaboration in training, consultation, and continued research and development.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Michael Morgan, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Rasclem. Good morning, Mr. Turner. It's always a pleasure. Good morning to all your listeners.
Yeah, man. As I welcome you to Grooving Radio once again, you're no stranger to Grooving Radio, Dr. Michael Morgan. The conversation this morning is the Jamaica healthcare system. What is wrong with our healthcare system, Dr. Morgan? Why is it so dysfunctional? And why no one has ever been seems to be held accountable or responsible for the mistakes and the failure of the system? You have worked directly in this system, Dr. Morgan. What is wrong with our system?
It's a litany of things, and it's a complex issue. It has to deal with politics. It has to deal with, as you say, accountability. And I think it starts from the top.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who has worked there, you know, it's not a matter of the competence of the doctor. We have some very brilliant doctors coming out of Jamaica. The problem is, as I said, and as you said rightfully, is accountability. I'll paint a picture for you. When I work at a particular hospital in Jamaica, for most part, the CEO or the SMO was pretty much absent for most part. You needed things to be done, or, you know, things to move up the chain. That person was at more cricket match. And I guess many people who might be listening to this program who have worked at the same facility start laughing, because they know exactly what it might be. But then you get down to the level of where we would call them attendants here. They are referred to as consultants there. And some consultants are always there. I can tell you, when I did my medicine and then I did surgery, you know, those consultants on my wards were there. But you had other wards where it was obvious and it was known that they would pop in and then pop out. So it leaves you with senior residents, you know, and they call them registrar there. We call them residents. And you have senior residents, you have the second year and the first year. So what would happen is that everyone is trying, because there's not much money in the public system. A lot of folks, not all, a lot of folks are normally trying to do what we call hustlers, you know. It becomes a thing where everybody wants to hustle. So you'll find people are absent. So by a certain timeline, people are out. So you leave people who are requiring supervision oftentimes to be there by themselves working. Now, when all of this breaks down, what should be happening? You should have an prompt visit from the Ministry of Health or their personnel to see, especially if you're getting complaints out of some hospitals.
Right.
You should have people just making an prompt visit to see what's going on, what's going right, what needs to be improved, and what, you know, needs to be just changed, what course needs to be changed. That doesn't happen. And then you have, you know, it's almost like a buddy-buddy system. It's hard for you to penalize me if you know that I'm a good friend of yours, or, you know, to hold me accountable.
But Dr. Morgan, this is healthcare. We're talking about people's life here. So how is it we're not going to hold these people accountable? And, you know, there have been so many failures in our healthcare system. It was only last week, Sunday, I had a conversation with attorney at law and retired FBI special agent who's now on the case in Jamaica in the death of Jodianne Ferran, who died at the University Hospital of the West Indies after she was thought of having COVID-19 when she went in to have her baby at Andrews Memorial. She ended up having the baby at Spanish Town Hospital. Victoria Jubilee said they wouldn't take a COVID patient. The woman didn't have COVID. The University of the West Indies said at first that they had no COVID bed. Again, she didn't have COVID. And after giving birth, so now this is four hospitals here: Andrews Memorial, Spanish Town, Victoria Jubilee, and the University of the West Indies, where she ended up after giving birth in Spanish Town, going now to the university, and died on the floor there, and her autopsy revealed that she had a hole in her heart. Now you have four hospitals involved in this situation. You have countless medical experts. You have doctors. You have hospital staffers. And no one can be held accountable. Many people have shared the same stories. So now, forget about the buddy-buddy system here now. We have doctors who are running private practice out of the University of the West Indies. Why is our education, why is our healthcare system so dysfunctional? It is by Dr. Morgan.
Well, a lot of people don't want to call a spade a spade. I might become the pariah in Jamaica, you know, for doing this. But a lot of people don't want to be open because for whatever, you know, motives there might be, or sometimes people just want to be able to do their things without being harassed. You know, for me, it's about improving the healthcare system. I have no other intention more than seeing it improved. We have had too many people, whether it's from the UK, from here, too many entities that have invested in our healthcare system for it to be in the kind of disarray, disrepair, and dysfunction that it is in. Nowhere is perfect.
Nowhere.
I see things here in the States, but we in Jamaica should not be where we are. I'll give you a perfect example. I have a friend who in December was riding his motorbike, got hit off the bike. You know, the open fracture, he went into Spanish Town Hospital with, everybody saw it. He had an open tibia-fibula fracture, bone protruding, all the nine yards. So everybody was focused on that. Guy was complaining a few days after, a day or two after, about pain in the left leg. Now, just to backtrack, I did trauma here when I was at a Harlem hospital. I did 2 years of surgery, preliminary surgery. And when you come in as trauma surgeons and as doctors, what we do is called a secondary survey, because many people are focused on the obvious injury that they oftentimes overlook some of the other life-threatening or potential life-threatening injuries that might be there, which is why we do a secondary survey to make sure we're not missing anything. Not one person check on this guy's leg. It's not until a few days after, and he's complaining of severe pain, and someone look and say, oh, the foot swell. But we'll do a test. They do a test. So the blood vessels were already compromised because the leg was swollen.
Right.
They had to amputate a good leg.
Wow.
Now, think about this. While that is also happening, he can't get people to come and dress the right leg on a regular basis. It's merely nurses who are doing it. And I'm saying, no, but a doctor must need to look at this. Then I'm speaking to many, tell me about, oh, when they finally come a week after them, say, they must have cut here, they must have cut there. And I say, listen.
Wow.
You need to be more vocal. And say, yeah, but I keep asking. I know doctor keep coming. They tell me doctor has to come from you. And I said, but each and every hospital in Jamaica, even when I was working there, I had my senior. I had one beneath him and I had the first year. And then you had us as resident, at least two of us. Mm-hmm. So you have enough people to be checking on these patients. Now, it reached the point where from December, it's just yesterday that he was able to get his graft because the leg that everybody was focused on, after he lost the leg, mm-hmm. the left leg, the leg that everyone was focused on took so long to be prepared and had to be, you know, he lost some tissue and everything else.
Mm.
I even went as far as to call the SMO. And then everybody ran to the bedside and started telling him, oh, you mean nobody's checking on you? And then after that, he couldn't get doctors to come and see him. It's days apart or, you know, a week apart and stuff like that. And they'll tell you it's a lie. But I'm guaranteeing you they might write in the chart, but nobody has actually seen him. Because many days I call him, and he's there, and it's a nurse who is dressing it. And even the physical therapist is saying, yeah, you know, we're trying to get to the doctor and all that stuff.
Mm.
You know? But what I'm saying is that the accountability, because when even something like that happened, mm-hmm. to take, for example, like this guy's my friend, think about it. He's lost a good leg.
Right.
And you still are neglecting to do your due diligence on the right. It shows that somewhere along the line, there's loss of accountability. And if you're getting these over and over,
mm-hmm.
as the Minister of Health, mm-hmm. it is your duty to put a stop and say, hey, what's going on? You're talking about people. I'll give you a perfect another example. When I went on a particle mission recently,
mm-hmm.
when I walk through that door some of the time, I hear a man say, no man, talk to this man. I'm at a man.
Mm.
And I'm saying, what's going on? Oh, the man I try to get a doctor for talk to because he needs some information about the thing went for biofilm fracture. We had doctors. I'm going to tell you about it is. We had doctors around our patient speaking Spanish the entire time, and the people couldn't talk to them. Well, I had to pull one aside and say, no, you got to talk to him. He keeps calling me every morning,
mm-hmm.
and this is it. And this is just, it's just a cascade, it's just a multifactorial breakdown.
Okay. So Dr. Morgan, and not to put all the burden on the minister himself, but the ministry, mm-hmm. the Ministry of Health, who's supposed to be the overseer of all of this, who oversees these hospitals? That's one question. The next question is, Dr. Morgan, are we looking at some of these institutions in Jamaica and calling them hospitals while they're not fully an hospital? Because it seems as if some of these places in Jamaica, and you saw it during the whole COVID-19 pandemic, where you could have a certain illness or you're feeling a certain pain and you go into a particular hospital in Jamaica, and they tell you that, well, we don't have an EKG machine, you know. We will have to transfer you to Spanish Town. Or we have to send you to KPH. How could it be an hospital? A person is suffering from heart ailment. And I've gone into an hospital. And you cannot help me because you don't have an EKG machine. You can't check and see what's going on with my heart. Are we looking at some of these institutions in the wrong way? Are they just some medical clinics or something? And I don't want it to sound that bad, but what are we looking at here when it comes to healthcare in Jamaica?
So, they are hospitals, but here is a issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can even just talk from, you know, my personal experience. I remember when I was in Jamaica, there was a container that came and it was supposed to be delivered to KPH. It was allegedly stuck in a particular place because nobody wanted to clear it. And what eventually happened out of that container is that people with their private practice just took their time and raided it.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So that's one of the things. Two, we're seeing where a lot of, and no matter where you go, the government also try to find a way to minimize the way, their expense. So they'll also ask for private companies to come in and do stuff. What we're seeing in Jamaica, since many of these companies start coming in and doing EKGs, doing CAT scan, and doing all of these, we're seeing where, whether it's by just lack of funds or just total neglect, or because these entities are now might be putting back, I don't know, but might be putting back money in some person's kitty somewhere, a lot of people are now directed to these entities.
Right.
That's one. Two, when we talk about whether it's EKGs and stuff, there's not one hospital in Jamaica, based on the amount of support they have gotten from the diaspora, not just from here in the States, but worldwide, not from the amount of funds they get from other places, like UNICEF and all these other places, should be without basic
equipment,
medical equipment, like ultrasound, EKGs, and things of this nature, should never, ever be. And, then it comes back to who should be held accountable. Because if you're telling me that I can't put everything on the Minister of Health, and I'm not blaming this one alone, because when I was working in KPH, it was
a different government,
political party who was in power, and it was the same thing. And funny enough, I saw one of my colleagues was complaining right next to me about cannot even get in blood tubes to draw blood. We had to tell the students coming from you to take some with them. Became the president for the Junior Doctor Association, denied everything that Dr. Dawes came out and say was dysfunctional in the system. So we have people with political aspirations that are undermining these places, have their private clinic, their private practices, and just loading their pocket, and have no care whatsoever for the population. Now, the Minister of Health, he can't do it. The minister himself can't do everything. But he has people we can delegate stuff to.
And that's why I said
they
the ministry.
They need to go out and go to these hospitals, see what's happening. They need to be getting a report. And don't go and ask these SMOs for the hospitals. Do not even ask them. Just go in like a lay person and ask the nurses, ask the residents, and you'll get the true story of what's not happening or what's happening. And as I'm saying, we have beautiful minds. We have doctor work here, but they become frustrated over time because of how the system is run. And it can be run better. I know we have a lot of wants and we have a lot of needs, but it can be run much better than it currently is running.
One second, Doc. Program note, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. A conversation this morning with Dr. Michael Morgan, who once worked as a doctor in Jamaica. What is wrong with the Jamaican healthcare system? Why is it so dysfunctional, and why is it no one has ever been held accountable or responsible for all the hills, the mistakes and the failure, ladies and gentlemen? Too many times we have heard horror stories coming out of the healthcare system. You said something very important. With all the medical missions that have gone to Jamaica over the last 30 plus years, with all of the diaspora contribution to healthcare, and I'm just picking, we're talking healthcare this morning, with all of the diaspora's contribution to healthcare, so much has been given to Jamaica, and yet still, our healthcare system is lacking of certain things. When it comes to even something like diabetes, folks in Jamaica have to travel miles and miles to get dialysis, Dr. Morgan. And there's an hospital in the area, because they're going to tell us that there's no dialysis machine at this particular institution. We are a developed country, or we're supposed to be a developed country, celebrating 60 years of some kind of independence from Queen Elizabeth, 10 years after she took the reign of the monarchy. And why is it the links are not being connected here, Dr. Morgan? Why so?
I think as a developing nation, one of the things that we have not done and we have not implemented are checks and balance.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the things that we had here. I mean, we see the political system you're breaking down now, but, you know, at least at one point there are checks and balance. We have never had it. And I think that's one of the things that we need to bring in. Now, let's talk about the healthcare from top down. Now, here in the States, all right, and it's not perfect. Yeah, things happen here. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened. If I am a resident or I'm a doctor, and there was a bad outcome for a patient, we have what we call M&M rounds. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what we will do, we would discuss the case and try to see where we went wrong, what we need to put in place to prevent this from happening again.
Mm.
And these are stuff that needs to be done. All right? But if they're done, not just to say we do them and then toss it underneath the desk, but to make sure that we're putting in systems to prevent these things from happening.
Again.
You know, if you're having first-year doctors and second-year doctors who are requiring guidance, and by a certain time, you know, the guidance that's supposed to be there is no longer there. You know, because the guidance have to make a little hustling to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And if the overseer for that senior person is just coming in for a minute and show their face and then I'm gone.
Mm.
And then the boss for that person is also the same. Come in, you know, hang around for a part of the day and then gone.
Mm.
And then the people in the ministry now who are supposed to say, hold on, we're getting too many complaints out of this hospital. Something is wrong. Let us call in some of these people
right. And
have a discussion. And let's do some investigation to see what's happening.
Mm.
Because there must be, our system cannot be that bad.
Mm. Accountability must be front and center. And the computers are going to take over in about 3 minutes, Dr. Morgan. But I think you were part of the recent COVID-19 mission to Jamaica. Am I correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so now, that medical mission took place. And it was on the western side of the country. The Minister of Health knew about it, but in an interview with the opposition spokesman on health, Dr. Guy, a few weeks after the mission was completed, and I asked Dr. Guy how was that mission. Dr. Guy said he knew nothing about that medical mission. Now, here is where communication breaks down now, because you have a government in place, you have an opposition in place. The government knew about this medical mission, but the opposition knew nothing about this. So when you talk about lack of communication,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about lack of communication, one side reaching across the aisles to say, listen, we have a medical mission. We're in a COVID-19 pandemic, and many doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals from the diaspora is coming down to help. How is it the opposition didn't knew anything about this? Talk about communication. 60 seconds, real quick.
It's hard for me to believe that took place and he didn't know. Owing to the reason, because it was on the news, it was all over the place.
Well, he said it publicly. No, he said it publicly that he knew nothing about it.
But you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
No, if we're talking about communication in a sense where, hey, this mission is coming down, this is in your patch, because that is how I think the government should operate and even the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having such a big mission going on in your area,
mm-hmm.
or you're the opposing person who is supposed to be the staff health,
mm-hmm.
we are talking about a pandemic. We're talking about something that's impacting the entire Jamaica, mm-hmm. our commerce as well in terms of our tourists coming down. We're talking about our local population. You should be involved.
There should be
communication.
Should be.
There should not be an exclusion. You know, yes, yeah. I can say I'm the one who's spearheading it, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm going to notify Rasclub. So you cannot say you didn't know. Or you might even have an idea.
Yeah.
You can also, you know.
All your thoughts there, Dr. Michael Morgan. The computers will take over in 30 seconds. When we come back after the other side of the 11 o'clock hour, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Michael Morgan. Ladies and gentlemen, what is wrong with our healthcare system? Where is the accountability? How so much lack of communication? Stay where you are, Dr. Michael Morgan. This is Grooving Radio.
East, and this is the original Chronics representing, and I say, you're listening to Groovin' Radio with the original Ras Clem on 93.5 WVIP FM. Keep it grooving, and we will keep it moving all the time, every time. Ease out.
Thank you so much, Chronics. And that is how I welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning right here on WVIP 93.5 FM. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Our very special guest this Saturday morning, he's no stranger to Groovin' Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout the entire COVID-19 pandemic, you would have heard Dr. Michael Morgan ever so often helping us out here, ladies and gentlemen, like he often do in the emergency room and elsewhere, ladies and gentlemen. The conversation this morning, the Jamaica healthcare system, why is it so dysfunctional and why no one seems to be ever held accountable for their actions, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Dr. Michael Morgan.
Thank you for having me, Rasklem.
And let me be clear, you know, listeners. Jamaica has produced some of the best nurses, some of the best doctors. So it's not as if we don't have good doctors and good nurses that work in our healthcare system. But they're so overburdened, Dr. Michael Morgan. And the communication is not there. It as you said before, the breakdown starts at the top. It starts at the top and it trickles down. And I'm pretty sure that somewhere within your family, Dr. Michael Morgan, you must have heard of one of your family members who have gone to the hospital and, you know, the end result, it didn't turn out to be good. Because, let's think about this. Dr. Butner formed her foundation because I think it was four of her family members who passed away in Jamaica. And she felt that they didn't have to die the way they die. It was because of improper health care that they receive in Jamaica. I'm sure you have heard that story over and over, Dr. Michael Morgan. Huh?
Well, I have a personal story where a cousin of mine who had end-stage renal disease requiring dialysis, mm-hmm. was actually being treated at KPH. You know, he got his dialysis and everything there. And then when he was supposed to have a kidney transplant, mm-hmm. you were stepped in and indicated that, listen, we're the teaching institution. We're the one who should be doing these kind of procedures. Now, just before he got his kidney transplant, he was able to get his dialysis up by UWE. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the renal, you know, the organ failed that was transplanted. And he could never get a dialysis session at UWE after that.
Wow.
He died in the parking lot heading to KPH, mm-hmm. that, you know, decided that since they knew him from so long and he has always been going there, mm-hmm. that he would, you know, they would give him a dialysis session. This was in 2004. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's sad, very sad, Rasmussen, because when I went back to Jamaica, my intent was to really, you know, I'm the best of both worlds. I'm not going to be lying to you. I wanted to be able to work in Jamaica, mm-hmm. and work here. Mm-hmm. And I was so, you know, disheartened by not just the fact that, you know, the system was in such disorganization, but the fact that, you know, people didn't want us there either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. You had a consultant who said, I'm the light locum, you know, that's what I refer to us as, even though we're Jamaicans coming back.
Wow.
And would tell you point blank that you wouldn't pass your exams because the exam weren't like here where, you know, you just go online, you do the exam, and then you go and you start working. You know, there you do your written, you can pass your written, but you can never pass the practical because somebody will look at you and say, you're not passing. We wow. had a doctor who was here, Dr. Taylor,
mm-hmm.
who graduated there, came here, became a cardiothoracic surgeon, was a very brilliant cardiothoracic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to UA and they had him playing around. Then he went to Cayman. I think he's back in the States now.
Mm-hmm.
I've met neurologists that came down from England who decided, you know, they wanted to just be a part of the system and they just have them bouncing around. And what they would always say to you, which is the default, mm-hmm. of almost any government official you speak to or any area, you try to, you know, give your opinion or to give your expertise in Jamaica. Is that when I think everything will work, I find can't work here.
Hold on. Hold on one second, Dr. Morgan. Yeah. Hold on one second. Are you saying that when doctors from here or doctors who study abroad go to Jamaica, they would shun them within the healthcare system?
Absolutely. Wow. And I can tell you point blank. I can call a doctor's name point blank who gave me hell nonstop and not just me. And many of them won't say because they're working in the system if you have to say their work. But I'm telling you point blank, they'll tell you. As a matter of fact, God rest his soul, Dr. Hilton, who was a SMO at Savalamar Hospital, he was a pediatrician. So he actually graduated there in Poland. Went back to Jamaica, was trying to do, you know, get into the system there. And a doctor told him that, you know, she don't want a locum. The only reason why I end up getting the pediatric post at Bustamante Hospital was because the guy who was supposed to go there, got a post up by Yui. I guess he had some connection and got the post. So it opened up something and they needed somebody. He left and he came back to the States. Did a fellowship and, you know, did some more work in pediatric medicine. Went to Jamaica, was an SMO for a little while there. He was the one who encouraged me to come back. And he kind of prepped me and said, listen, don't feel away. You're going to get it. You know, and at one stage when I tell him, man, this is above and beyond. You know, it's crazy. You know, he said, no, man, just go on to your thing. And, you know, God rest his soul, he died, you know, a few years ago. And, but yeah, man, he experienced it. As a matter of fact, he said he ran into the same attending who said she never wanted him at some conference and she couldn't believe that it was him. Because while they were talking, she never even realized who she was talking to.
Okay. So now that we have identified some of the problems, Dr. Morgan, now that we have identified some of these issues, how do we now try and correct them? Because now, you know, we're in the month of June. And it is also Diaspora Conference Month. And speaking to the global diaspora leader from the Northeast last Sunday here, Dr. Karen Dunkley, who's an educator, a lifelong educator, some of the topics that are supposed to be discussed at this year's conference is crime and violence, education, and yes, healthcare. So now that we have identified some of the problems with our healthcare system, how do we now get Jamaica to understand that it has to be fixed? And the diaspora can also assist in fixing it. How do we do that, Dr. Morgan?
Rustin, that's a question that I don't know how to answer because I've seen people try the honey, you know, method. Some people try the lemon method. You know, you catch more bees with honey and all of that. But, you know, it's just a system that's reluctant to change. And I don't care where you are. If you don't have changes, you can't make progress. Not all changes are good, but you must make change to make progress. They're reluctant to change. It's a good old buddy-buddy system. And I rub your shoulder, you rub mine. And because so many people, just like when you talk about politics in many ways, you might have, you know, politicians who are not doing the right thing. Right. But I can't call you out because I'm not doing the right thing. I'm afraid you call me out. But I think there needs to be a total overhaul of how the Jamaica healthcare system is run. That's one. Two, I think the government needs to step in and say, listen, while we have private entities in this country, we need to make sure that whatever they're doing, it's benefiting our population as well. Meaning that we're not going to be, you know, not fixing equipment in the hospital because there's an entity over here that's getting some money from doing a lot of CAT scan and everything, using the government ambulance as well to take patients there. And you know, maybe some people know them. I don't know it works, but I can only, you know.
Right.
Now, when you do the math, you kind of have an idea what might be happening, you know. Let's step back. So first, Minister of Health needs to get a hold and needs to send a statement to each and every hospital.
Right.
This is what we are expecting of our hospitals.
This is what
our
required.
Healthcare professionals.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is what's required. This is your responsibility to the patient.
Mm-hmm.
This is our patient's responsibility. All right, these are low-lying fruits that we can reach,
right.
And we can get them with the help of whether the diaspora or some other entities.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these are long-term things, ingrained system problems that we need to uproot and, you know, modify so that it fits the current medical needs of our country. All right? And then we take it from there. Also, right. We need to start having accountability.
Yes.
You must have people being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, nothing will change.
Talk about a system that's in disarray. You mentioned an ambulance. And I know Dr. Trevor Dixon has been working closely with the Chamber of Commerce in Westmoreland, in Savalamar. And they had gone down, which is the Jaja Foundation, they had gone down to Jamaica to train medical technicians and such and certify them. There's a recent mm-hmm. story that came out of Jamaica about a Canadian gentleman who sent an ambulance to Jamaica as a gift, and they wanted so much money to clear the ambulance. The government ended up auctioning off the ambulance. We still don't have a system in Jamaica where if you're home and you're feeling sick or you have a heart attack, you can call 119 and the system is connected to an ambulance system or what. We don't have that in Jamaica. But when you have
when you have
people who are trying to advance the system, and I can share this personal story with you. When the OID got their medical bus from Mr. Vincent Osang, that medical bus cost over $160,000 or $180,000. The government wanted to hold on to it. And at the same time, this piece of equipment was sent to Jamaica to assist the Organization for International Development, Dr. Roy Street and his team, so that they could move around the highland and provide dental and medical care to the poorer class of people who have never had this before. But there are some red tapes, Dr. Morgan. Speak about that.
But there are private hospitals that have multiple ambulances.
Multiple. Multiple.
So you tell me, how is it they can do it, but the public... Are the diaspora that's helping the public, the poor, the Jamaicans can't do it. And that is where I get frustrated. I'm a diaspora Jamaican. Yeah, I'm here. I'm American. You know, I'm Jam American. But at the end of the day, I have a love for Jamaica. Many of us do.
We all do.
That's why we do this. I'm not looking for any $6 million. I'm not looking for any plaque put on the wall.
Right. We all do. We all
that's
have.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I'm hoping that if my family gets sick or your family gets sick in Jamaica, I can get basic care. Or if when I'm visiting I get sick, I can go to a hospital and I'm not worried about, you know, geez, you know, hey, something that can be treatable. No, I'm worried about, hey, I can't even travel
so
because I need to be stabilized, but I can't be stabilized.
So you're telling me...
You're right.
So you're telling me to come on home. Come on home. Jamaica is hoping for the diaspora to come. Come and live. But yet when I go there and I have a little bruise on my foot, they may end up cutting off the wrong foot and say, oops, huh? You may end up cutting off the wrong foot and say, oops. The system must be corrected. And the system should be corrected from the top down. Think about all the efforts, again, from the healthcare sector. Claudette Powell and her team. All the efforts from the Jaja Foundation, the Caribbean Medical Mission, the Jamaica Medical Mission, Dr. Robert Clark and his team, Dr. Roy Street and his team, Dr. Trevor Dixon and his team. I mean, the teams that you are a part of, Dr. Morgan. Think of all the efforts that you guys have put forth to advance the healthcare system in Jamaica. But yet still, we're still struggling.
I want to give you other viewers two examples.
Go ahead.
And I can debate anyone from Jamaica who wants to hold a debate today to refute anything that I'm saying here. anytime, anywhere. So when we spoke about, remember one other thing that, you know, you mentioned was the mission that I was doing with the Bustamante Pediatric Hospital. Now, how that came along, I went to Jamaica. One of my colleagues had some medication, some immunoglobulin, and I'd sent some emails to the Minister of Health at the time and to the Bustamante Hospital. Couldn't hear back, so I was on vacation, and I said, you know what, I know the SMO at the time, so let me go down and see her. So I went and I got a meeting with her, and I said, hey, listen, you know, I have this medication, but, you know, I know we need it here because I used to work at Busta, and nobody has gotten back to me. Say, yeah, you know, I get the email and I get this, but I'm just so busy with everything else. You know, we need help with Dr. Morgan, cancer treatment. We ask our, I welcome her to say this is a lie if we ever have to reach that point. She said, our big institution in this country didn't say that they can't help me. Say they will not help us. All right? They will not help us. What I did, I came right to Columbia because I knew the pediatric oncologist people there. I used to coach their kids soccer up in Westchester. I walked in and they say, Dr. Morgan, we will help, but Jamaica will also have to help. The last place we kind of did something like this, we end up taking the burden, but we're more than willing to help. I took time off and went back to Jamaica out of my own pay and took away time, you know, because I took a week, I asked my boss for the week, went down, and had a Skype interview. I think Dr. Abel was his name, was there, and somebody who was involved, the SMO at the time, because they were also shifting SMO, so the old SMO was there. We had a nice conference about what was needed and how we would do stuff. Every Wednesday, we used to have a medical conference, not me, because I was not a pediatrician, but they used to have presentation to the oncologist here. They would go through cases and things like that. We came up with MOU of what was we were going to do. We're going to try establishing training for doctors there who wants to be pediatric oncologists. We started developing palliative care, nutrition. How you would see it streamlined here.
We got 2 minutes, Dr. Morgan. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to I'm going to run through it. So the long and short of it is that it took us about 3 years to get our MOU signed. I guess you heard about this, and then they form an alliance with SickKid, got their stuff within 6 months signed. Long and short, we can't hear from them anymore. You know, the doctor here is calling, what's going on? Only to find out that the spearheaded person who was leading this thing from Jamaica, through you, we got a fellowship to SickKid, so we didn't hear anything. And then a few years later, people were calling me about kids who had cancer that they needed help with. And I'm saying, guys, right now you don't know how livid I am. Because the program that was set in place would have set all of this in motion. That's one. All right? So we have people with ulterior motives in the system. And a lot of people have motives, you know. But many people have self-centered motive and don't really care about the local population. And that needs to be taken into account. We need to get people who really care for Jamaicans back in all of these systems.
And the people who we need to get that cares for Jamaica have to be the people who are the gatekeepers in government in Jamaica. You know, it is sad that we elect these people to lead, and they are not leading. So I say, to whom this may concern, if you have a seat at the table, if you have a seat at the table, you must speak up. And if you're not willing to speak up, give up your seat. Whether you're a government official, whether you are a community leader, or you're one of our elected officials that we call the gatekeepers, we cannot continue to go on like this. The diaspora has gone head over heels to advance many different sectors in Jamaica. Whether it's crime and violence, whether it's education, whether it's healthcare, the diaspora has gone head over heels to assist and advance Jamaica in the right direction. But for some forsake reason, talk about red tape here in these United States. I don't think it's red tape alone in Jamaica. I think it's red wall, because they've built up walls between the diaspora and Jamaica. They have built up walls between the rich communities and the poor communities in Jamaica. Some poor people in Jamaica has never seen a dentist. I've never seen a gynecologist. I've never seen a heart doctor. I mean, how do they live? The system is dysfunctional, and the system needs to be corrected. Dr. Michael Morgan, as always, I want to thank you for your contribution to Groovin' Radio. As again, you're not a stranger here, and your contribution, it has gone above and beyond to help our community understand what it means to care. So thank you so much again, Dr. Morgan, for joining us this Saturday morning.
It's a pleasure, Rasklim. Given the situation, it's kind of a difficult conversation to have. It's not the best conversation. I don't like having it.
Well,
but I think it needs to be had because so many people who know what's happening will not say what's happening.
Yes.
And we deserve better. We can do better. And we have the people in Jamaica. They just need the help.
Definitely.
And I think we can get there.
Well, as I say, Groovin' Radio, we have thought-provoking conversations, Dr. Morgan. So thank you so much, sir. We'll talk soon.
All right. One love.
One love. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our presentation this Saturday morning.